Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 16. In this chapter, we have the record of the reign of Ahaz, king of Judah. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses. 2 Kings chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Indeed, he made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to make war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, captured Elath for Syria and drove the men of Judah from Elath. Then the Edomites went to Elath and dwelt there to this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house, and sent it as a present to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria heeded him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, carried its people captive to Kir, and killed Rezin. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 16, with some background notes. At the end of 2 Kings chapter 15, we read about the reign of good King Jotham of Judah. Unfortunately, his son Ahaz, whose record is before us, did not follow in his father's footsteps. In fact, we read in verses 3 and 4 that he even sacrificed his son in his worship of foreign gods. Child sacrifice was strictly forbidden under the Mosaic law. Now, child sacrifice was practiced regularly in the northern kingdom of Israel, as we'll see in chapter 17. But here in chapter 16, we see that it had also come into Judah through King Ahaz. In fact, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 that Ahaz sacrificed his sons, plural, in his idolatry. It was because of this idolatry that God allowed Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of northern Israel, to attack Judah and besiege Ahaz and the capital city of Jerusalem. Although they were not able to conquer Jerusalem, they did capture some territory, including the important port city of Elath on the Gulf of Aqaba. And according to 2 Chronicles 28, they did inflict heavy losses on Judah at that time. Now, it was about this time, according to Isaiah chapter 7, that God graciously sent the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz with the message that the two kings who were attacking him would meet their end in a few years, and there was no need to fear them. In fact, it was on this occasion that Isaiah's prophecy of the virgin birth of the coming Messiah was given. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 7. Well, rather than thank the Lord and turn to the Lord for deliverance, we see in verses 7 and 8 here in 2 Kings 16 that King Ahaz sent messengers and money to Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria for help. Now, Tiglath-Pileser brought Ahaz temporary relief by attacking Damascus, the capital of Syria, and King Rezin of Syria was killed, as we see in verse 9. But Ahaz still did not turn to the Lord. In fact, he went even further into idolatry. And that brings us then to our doctrine or teaching points for 2 Kings chapter 16. Doctrinal point number one, idolatry involves the worship of false gods. Idolatry involves the worship of false gods. Verses 10 through 13. Now King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the design of the altar and its pattern. according to all its workmanship. Then Urijah, the priest, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah, the priest, made it before King Ahaz came back from Damascus. And when the king came back from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached the altar and made offerings on it. So he burned his burnt offering and his grain offering, and he poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings on the altar. As a vassal king now to the Assyrians, King Ahaz went to Damascus of Syria to meet Tiglath-Pileser and probably to pay further tribute for his protection. While Ahaz was in Damascus, he was fascinated by the size and design of a pagan altar there. And so he sent the blueprints back to Jerusalem and demanded that Urijah, the priest, build a copy of this pagan altar and have it ready for him when he returned. Now, the fact that Urijah went along with this idolatry shows us how much the priesthood had been corrupted. Urijah should have withstood King Ahaz, as the priest did when King Uzziah entered the temple and tried to burn incense before the Lord. Remember the case of King Uzziah back in chapter 15? Now, we know that King Ahaz was heavily involved in idolatry from what we've already read in this chapter. But now he actually brings a pagan altar into the temple area. Now, it could be argued that Ahaz used this altar to worship the Lord, and it was just designed after this pagan altar. Well, it may have started out that way, but it wasn't long before King Ahaz was worshiping the gods of Damascus, where he had first seen this impressive altar. Again, I'm reading 2 Chronicles chapter 28. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, "Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them, that they may help me." But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And in every single city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 22 through 25. Idolatry involves the worship of false gods. There is certainly the worship of false gods going on today, and not just on the foreign mission field. Let me ask you, is the one true God alone being worshipped in your home? Or have other gods come in, and your home is no longer a Christ-centered home? Idolatry involves the worship of false gods. Doctrine point number two. Idolatry includes false worship of the true God. Idolatry includes false worship of the true God. Verses 14 through 16. Ahaz also brought the bronze altar, which was before the Lord, from the front of the temple, from between the new altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the new altar. Then King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, "On the great new altar burn the morning burnt offering, the evening grain offering, the king's burnt sacrifice, and his grain offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, their grain offering, and their drink offerings, and sprinkle on it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by." Thus did Urijah the priest, according to all that King Ahaz commanded. Idolatry not only involves the worship of false gods, but it also includes false worship of the true God. We certainly see this in the life of King Ahaz and in the idolatry that he allowed into the kingdom of Judah. He moved the bronze altar of the Lord out of its central place in the temple courts, which was a departure from the divine pattern as given in the book of Exodus. And Ahaz replaced the bronze altar with his new pagan altar. Meanwhile, the bronze altar was to be for his personal use, maybe even for divination. The priests were now to offer the morning and evening sacrifices to the Lord on the new altar. And the people were to bring their sacrifices to the Lord to this new altar. All of this was a departure from worship according to the Word of God. Furthermore, we know that on the high places in Judah, not everyone was worshiping the foreign gods. Some of the people were sacrificing to the Lord on these high places, but again, not in Jerusalem, where all sacrifices were to take place, according to Deuteronomy chapter 12. All of this was also idolatry, because it was worship to the Lord, which was not according to the divine pattern as God had designed it. God had given the plans for the tabernacle and later the temple. To depart from the divine pattern for a way of worship of your own design is a form of idolatry. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, the Lord Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. In Christendom today, there are all kinds of departures from this simple and straightforward approach to the one true God. Because of Christ's one great sacrifice on the cross, and because of the fact that he is now high priest, nothing else is needed for true worship of the one true God. Altars and icons and images and incense are not needed to worship the Lord and are a departure from the divine pattern of worship for the Christian as revealed in the New Testament. Idolatry includes false worship of the true God. Now, what about practical application from 2 Kings chapter 16? What king is directing your activity? What king is directing your activity? Verses 17 through 20. "And King Ahaz cut off the panels of the carts and removed the lavers from them. And he took down the sea from the bronze oxen that were under it and put it on a pavement of stones. Also, he removed the Sabbath pavilion, which they had built in the temple. And he removed the king's outer entrance from the house of the Lord on account of the king of Assyria." Now, the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Ahaz rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. All of these alterations in the temple area with its furnishings that we read about in verses 17 and 18 was either to use the gold and bronze to pay off Tiglath-Pileser with tribute money, or to purposely diminish the glory and grandeur of Israel's temple in view of their subservient status under Assyria. In any case, Tiglath-Pileser, the pagan king of Assyria, directly or indirectly manipulated King Ahaz as a puppet. Verse 18 says that all of Ahaz's activities were on account of or in deference to the pagan king of Assyria. Now, what about us? We say that the Lord is directing all our activities. But wait a minute. Have we gotten ourselves so involved and entangled and obligated to this world system that the Lord is no longer directing our activities? Is it possible that the world, the flesh, or Satan himself is directing our activities? What king is directing your activity?